Joining me on the phone is Democratic State Senator Sarah Feigenholz from Chicago. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Rick, it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I wanted to know, you know, you're a new senator now. This had to be kind of a very strange environment. And for people that weren't closely following what was going on, this was probably as strange a convening of the legislature as the state has ever seen.
Well, yeah, it, you know, it certainly wasn't in the plan book, you know, but clearly the legislature and the executive branch have a responsibility. And after this pandemic hit us, our world in Illinois and our constituents, we were scrambling and spending a great deal of time actually just doing so much triage. Businesses closing, unemployment issues. I mean, I can't begin to tell you. And managing all of it while following the stay-at-home order ourselves and our staff doing the same. So we had to acclimate very quickly and start problem solving so that we could come up with remedy and take care of our constituents. But at some point, as you know, we had to get down to Springfield. We had to help the governor. We had to do a budget and resolve some problems that only he can do with the legislature. But I think at that point, people were just prepared to, many of us tested before we went. We took precautions. We social distanced. We drove alone. We stayed in our own hotel rooms. There was no socializing. We got down to business, and it was strange. But I think on the way home, I felt like we really accomplished about 3 months' worth of work in 3 days. What do you think?
Well, and that's kind of what struck me, because I thought going into this, one, it wouldn't be done in 3 days, but I didn't think it'd be done in 5 days. So that was really taking, as you said, 3 months of work and cutting it down to what really were viewed as essentials, as well as trying to put together a state budget in this great uncertainty of what lies ahead. You know, obviously, we're all familiar with what it's like to be in a state that didn't have a budget for a couple of years.
Oh, yes.
So for the complaints that exist, at least we have something to work from. But that having been said, you know, there's still a great deal of uncertainty. The fact of borrowing up to $5 billion from the Federal Reserve, granted at low interest, but nevertheless, that kind of borrowing for a state, not great credit rating as it is, and then kind of what's Washington going to do? Because whatever they do, and eventually everybody thinks they will do something, but eventually that money for states would be used to repay the loan. I mean, it's still kind of a question mark out there.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you think about the CARES Act, it was put, the opportunity to borrow was an agreement between Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump. They all thought it was a good idea. It passed overwhelmingly in Congress. And, you know, the federal government put this in place and basically encouraged not just Illinois, but our 49 other partners in the country to do the same because of exactly this reason for this pandemic. And, you know, we are not unique being hit by this. Many states have closed their businesses. They have taken education remotely. You know, so this is an opportunity for us to sort of take a breath and keep our schools going, invest in e-learning so that if we are still in the space in September, that we don't lose precious moments in educating our children, that we shore up our healthcare system and make sure that we're responding to local governments who have been sideswiped and really need our help.
And you might have heard my question to the governor this morning, or even to Republican Leader Brady about local governments. And to me, I think that yeah, they're getting back about $125 million extra from the state share of the income tax. There's about, I believe, $250 million from the CARES Act that is available for direct reimbursement of coronavirus-related spending. But after that, you have a state government that's, you know, spending like crazy to deal with this unfortunate epidemic, but you have local governments that are spending that way. And, you know, as far as what I hear from not just Chicago, but when you talk to people in Peoria, Rockford, whatever, Brad Cole from the Municipal League, you've got municipalities looking at laying off these frontline first responders.
Well, you know, that we don't want that to happen. You know, interestingly enough, it was a very collegial. I mean, I think that I saw more unanimity than I have, and less partisanship than I have in many, many, many years. And I think that Leader Brady sort of alluded to the collaboration, cooperation, and how I observed people really trying to problem solve, acknowledging the tragedy of the pandemic, trying to mitigate what will continue to be a problem, and at the same time make smart decisions to, you know, to resolve problems with the tools we have, and of course wait and see. You know, again, a lot of the wait and see how things evolve in Washington with more resources. You saw the HEROES Act. We're hoping that there'll be a little bit more flexibility around the business loans and the PPP loans, around unemployment. You're starting to see some of that happening.
Senator, I'm going to have to interrupt you right there. We need to get away for a quick break, but we'll pick up this discussion. That's Senator Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic Senator from Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. It's magic might be an appropriate bumper here for what the Illinois General Assembly accomplished in its extended spring special pandemic session. On the phone with me is Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Senator from Chicago. Just real quick, when you touched on kind of a collegiality maybe enforced by the strange things that lawmakers were forced to do because of the pandemic and health rules. But I'm wondering, too, is some of that maybe just a switch from having been in the House to the state Senate?
I have always worked across the aisle, and I know that it certainly seems like there's a lot of partisanship and a lot of bickering going on, but frankly, 98% of the time we are working with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle and are like-minded. Some of it is, you know, we really do get along with them more than people think. Each other, and I have to say, this week was really special. I mean, I felt it was different, and I felt like we all had some very serious purpose. We are not a group. The legislature, people who run for public office and serve, typically are not the retreating type, if you will. You know, they are like Marines. They stay in, they fight, they want to get to yes. You know, we're here to protect our constituents from the storm, respond to the needs that they have. And, you know, I mean, we got a lot accomplished on the front end. First of all, we made our full pension payment, right? We, you know, Leader Brady said, we did the hospital assessment. We came to an agreement on workers' comp. We did TIF legislation. And as you know, I was responding in my district to small business, the great bars and restaurants around Wrigley Field and in my community that are looking for tools to stay innovative and keep afloat during this pandemic while they're closed. So we passed, of course, a couple of measures that will help them at the Department of Revenue and the ILCC to, you know, around to stave off some of the costs they have before they're open, including giving them the opportunity to sell cocktails to go, which probably was a very popular bill this year.
Yeah, that probably was the most popular bill this year. And I mentioned to Dean Richards this morning, I thought it was, you know, initially it was kind of like a clever idea to try to help bars and restaurants out. And then the bar and restaurant community were like, yes, please. You know, we need any kind of lifeline we can get.
Exactly. It's true. And we're going to watch, hopefully this week, the mayor and the governor sort of work through the really fine details of what an opening looks like. I think that we can't talk about things in the context of open or close, okay? I think that we're seeing that neither, we're in a place right now where we need to sort of do this in gradations. And people need to follow those rules within those gradations for us to be able to do this successfully. I just heard a statistic about Wisconsin, who opened, as you know, very quickly. The bars were jammed with people, and they have just had a spike. And that is something I don't believe any of us want. I know the governor doesn't want it. I know the mayor doesn't want it. And so I think that they're going to do this carefully. Having said that, giving an opportunity for bars to, you know, innovate and responsibly and safely deliver mixed drinks with all the deliveries that they're doing is something that we are going to allow them to do. And continue to try and give them more tools to stay open while we're trying to figure this all out. And let's not forget, we paid our pension, cocktails to go, and in all the years that you and I have been in Springfield,
see, you stole my next question.
Come right on, there. I'm going to do it.
Okay, go it's for mine. It.
Give it to me. So, I mean, I know that you have probably been around the same time as I have, where there was a time when gaming was being debated, and the mayor of the city of Chicago didn't want a Chicago casino, or at that time when gambling was being permitted in Illinois, it was boats that left a dock, remember? And I don't think Rich Daley ever wanted any part of it. And, you know, so then Rahm came, and you saw what happened there. The Governor Quinn vetoed it.
Right.
And then finally we pass, Lori Lightfoot, literally a year and a week after she became mayor, put it together because she's such a great leader, an amazing, just amazing woman. I don't have to tell you that. And was able to put this amazing deal together, which ultimately results in revenue and jobs and paying our police and fire pension in the city of Chicago so that we can honestly, hopefully hold our breath and pray that our property taxes don't go up to pay for that. So she has come up with a great solution, and you saw the vote totals. It was a complete bipartisan effort in both the House and the Senate, and I never thought I would see it. And I am glad it happened on Lori Lightfoot's watch.
Well, and I have to admit, you know, even these days when the rumblings about trying to get that tax easing of the tax structure done, I had my serious doubts whether any legislation would see the light of day, particularly, you know, in this kind of truncated special session that we were in, and knowing the history of gaming legislation, and it becomes a Christmas tree and it falls over of its own weight. But I think one of the drivers on it was the fact of, as is always, is how do you sell a Chicago issue to downstaters unless there's something in it for them? And I think that goes back to the original funding scheme of the capital program, the infrastructure program of tying state share of casino revenues into helping fund a statewide public works program.
Well, not only that, but that's true. We also solved the downstate problem during veto session with the consolidation of a bunch of pension systems, remember?
Yes.
So we, and so the Chicago legislators happily put a vote on that, and we're waiting in November to try and make this, drop this tax that was in the, and we failed to do it. And I feel that, you know, with the leadership of some of our downstate colleagues, they wanted to help Chicago. And I also think that, excuse me, from this tragedy, from this, like, incredible moment none of us ever thought we would experience in our lives, and while we're all floating in uncharted territory here, waters, that everybody sort of came together and said, we got to do this. We've got a finite number of days here. We have to problem solve. This is going to help Chicago. You know, this is going to help the hospitality industry, who is hemorrhaging the most. You know, we had in Illinois, we have 595,000 jobs in the hospitality industry. Over 300,000 of them have been lost in 3 months in this pandemic. So, we are a destination. We are a culinary and tourist destination. We now are the home of the James Beard Awards. People come and flock to our city for our bars, our restaurants, for all our sports teams, for conventions. This is a lot of money in the bank. That is revenue, okay? So we have got to do everything we can to keep this industry alive and to keep the culture of our city. You know, this isn't Houston where you have a bunch of chain restaurants. You know, this is the home of Rick Bayless, and, you know, we have some of the best chefs in the country here in Chicago, and we have to keep it that way. We have to do whatever it takes to keep these people afloat.
Well, and that's kind of, and people who've listened to the show, and obviously I've had Sam Toy on, and I've got, you know, Michael Jacobson from the Hotel and Lodging Association coming on next. But it's like, what is this city and its cultural appeal, and as a convention site, visiting site, hospitality site, what is that going to look like? You know, is there going to be a new mindset, a different mindset of people?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of it depends on a vaccine that is effective and available widely. I think it's going to take a long time to build that confidence. And I think that Michael Jacobson is probably going, my constituent, Michael Jacobson, and I have talked extensively about this. I think we're going to start to see how Europe did this and bring some ideas that are not necessarily on our radar screen yet to the fore for discussion. I think that this is what we are going to begin. We have to be innovative. We have to reinvent ourselves, and we have to do whatever it takes, short of endangering lives, by the way. But you will probably hear some very interesting ideas from Mr. Jacobson in the next segment. I'm confident.
That's Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Senator from Chicago. Senator, as always, thank you so much for joining the Sunday Spin.
It's my pleasure, Rick. Take care.